Afterward. This is Peter, and this is this week's sermon recap, following up on the message from 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. In this series, God is discipling our memories, training us in how not only to remember, but how to remember well. Our growth as believers seems to be tied to this. For example, in 2 Peter 1, 9, the person who is not growing has become ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and is described as blind and forgetful, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Do you see the link there between memory and momentum? To keep moving forward, I need to keep looking back. But the way I look back is really important. Not looking back at my failures or other people's or my hurts or even my achievements, my fleshly achievements. That's what Paul was emphasizing in Philippians 3 when he said he was pressing on, forgetting what lies behind. He had just listed all his religious achievements. I'm not remembering those. And I don't think he's talking about experiences either, like look back on your road to Damascus experience or your prayer as a child experience or the date in the front of your Bible to remind you. Peter simply says that this individual has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So in some way, this person has forgotten who he was and now who he is because of Jesus, like what Jesus did. And I find this vital to my spiritual growth. When I am feeling apathetic or entitled or discouraged or frustrated, when I want to give up or don't want to go on, and I think back at what I deserved, if Jesus had not called me, had not cleansed me, I would still be under God's wrath, caught in my sin, in the corruption of my sinful desires, consumed by the cravings that I think I need or deserve. I would be hopeless. And yet, he cleansed me. He washed me. He washed me totally clean when I did nothing to earn it or deserve it. And today I'm living under the light of his smile, the warmth of his affection. He has given me everything I need for life and godliness. Everything. And these qualities he's calling me to supplement my faith with, like virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love, are all gifts he's inviting me to furnish my life with. They're not threats, but gifts. So this connection between memory and momentum seems to be similar to Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That all things sound familiar? That is the same word Peter uses in 2 Peter 1:3. Panta, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When I forget what he's done in the past, I lose the awareness of what he's doing today. I become more timid to trust him for the qualities needed to navigate today's challenges. To go back to the bridge illustration we ended with on Sunday, if I'm forgetting what he's done for me in Jesus, I'm far more prone to see the closed bridge, the bridge under construction in front of me, as an occasion for anger or despair, rather than an opportunity to tap into the vast resources God has given me and to find an alternative route, to take a back road of virtue or self-control or patience under pressure or love. And this seems to be the way we, verse 10, confirm our calling and election as we remember He has cleansed me from all my sins. As we continue to tap into the qualities He has lavishly provided for us to keep growing, our memory of past grace produces a momentum toward future grace. So where do we start? I don't think it's helpful to start checking boxes or measuring progress. Some of you asked some really good questions regarding evaluation, like how do I know if I'm increasing in these qualities? Or how much fruit makes one fruitful? Measurable standards of growth in your relationship with Jesus are difficult for several reasons. First of all, relationships are generally not computable. Try to calculate the level of love in your marriage. Also, fruit is often invisible. Not all fruit. Obviously, there are very visible kinds of fruit in our lives. But if Jesus is growing me in humility at a particular time, how do I objectively measure that? And what if Jesus is leading me to a bridge that is out in order to supplement my faith with self-control? How do I measure the precise level of self-control the Spirit is producing through me? Obviously, I can't. However, as I look back over the past year, if I can't think of any of these qualities the Spirit is inviting me into or producing in new ways, that should cause me to pause and ask why. Am I living my life in such a way as to think I don't need to continue to grow? Do I think I've arrived? Have I forgotten the horrific judgment my sins deserve and lost the wonder of my justification that I've been declared right with God by grace through faith? Do I need to be stirred up by way of reminder? Which is exactly what Peter is doing, as we will see this Sunday in 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Thank you for joining us for Afternoon.